Will altcoins like Algorand, Hedera act like silver? That is the viewpoint we're going to look to in one of our reaction videos today. Hello, everyone. We're FrugalBC here live on YouTube, Kick, Twitch, and X. Hopefully they all worked. We know YouTube is kind of the main beast here, so everything else is secondary. Hope everyone's doing well out there today. I haven't even looked at the market conditions today yet, so I don't even know what's going on with that, but plenty of stuff to look at. We got some Algorand news and some Hedera video to react to, and then if we get some time, we'll go through some extra stuff that I've just been looking at toward the end of the stream. And so lots of cool stuff to look at today. Some interesting stuff on Algorand with X402. We're going to dive deeper into that and what that means, what the stack is looking like. Plenty of stuff there. The Hedera video is going to be very interesting because it's claiming that Hedera is going to behave similar to silver. And there might be an Algorand link there too. So appreciate everyone tuning in. You got a nice little audience forming already. Bacon's in the chat saying, "Hey, Algorand family, hope you're all doing well in this red days." Absolutely. And also asked, "When are you and DonkeyDAO talking about DonkeyDAO?" Well, I'm actually working right now on my new recording setup. I am testing out Discord chat rooms and using that to conduct my interviews and then recording them versus trying to do them live, because so many things can go wrong on these live stream interviews, and it's just you end up having to watch it because you'll see people, they'll be in the chat, they'll be like, "What's going on?" You know, they'll be like wondering something. Every time I've done one of these live stream videos, it's like something doesn't work when we go live. And it's weird because it works most of the time, actually. And then once in a while it doesn't work. It's really kind of strange, I guess. But we will be doing more of those. Actually, I've got one coming up with John from Non-Fungible Domains. He's kind of been helping me out a little bit. We tried it out on Friday and I found out something. I actually had something wrong with my I can't use my main camera for those. I can't use it in OBS and Discord at the same time, so I was using my Logitech and that actually worked. But I still had my other one on, and so it was lagging like crazy. So every time we tried to start the interview, it wouldn't work. But I definitely want to bring John from Non-Fungible Domains and Haystack on, because I've got some questions I want to ask him that I think will be interesting. I might try to record that one on Thursday. So, but anyway, thanks so much, everyone, for tuning in. I hope everyone's doing well out there. And I just want to remind you that we're actually live. So we're, like I said, we are live on X, on YouTube, on Kick, and on Twitch. All four of those we go to thanks to Stream Elements, which, by the way, if you're trying to stream multi, this is absolutely the way to do it. It's pretty incredible, actually, that it allows you to go to all those different places. If you have not hit the like button already, I see we got what 11 viewers now watching. So if you haven't hit the like button, please do so. That helps a lot. It helps get the channel out there, especially early on. The more you can do that, the better. So I appreciate that. And if you're new and are not subscribed already, I definitely appreciate you guys subscribing. So if you hit that subscribe button. Now remember, as I always say, you don't have to smash it. You can actually just press it ever so gently, and it works just fine that way too. And Bagham says, "Will be so awesome. So many awesome projects. Would like to see them all, to be honest." Yeah, and I go back and forth on how much I want to do these. They're a real pain to set up, I'll be honest. Like, it's really hard. You would think it's kind of weird. It feels like the bigger I've gotten, the harder it is to get people to come on the show, which you think would be the opposite. Maybe I'm kind of in that no man land. I don't know. I think 6,500 is a pretty good subscriber number. I really want to get to 10K is my goal. And so I know setting them up is hard, and then the tech stack is a little bit challenging. But I think I've got that solved. And I like the idea of just doing short little ones over Discord instead. So we'll see. And then also, like, I don't honestly, they don't do that well. I've had a bunch of these, and they always do poorly compared to my other ones. What I'd really like to do is bring people on during the stream, but that's even more logistically challenging. So doing any of this stuff live is really tough. you know, without an engineer, someone to help. But anyway, you can also follow me on X at FrugalBC. That is my handle now. I switched it to make it easier for you guys to find, since I mostly do crypto content now. And this is available as a podcast, so you can get that on your favorite podcast platform, Apple, Spotify, whatever. I see it in Overcast, which is what I use. And also, we got a new newsletter. It's frugalbc.beehive.com. I actually have it linked below, finally. We're going to try to keep linking that on our various YouTube videos. And I'm doing twice weekly, so you're only going to get in your inbox twice a week. So I highly recommend checking that out, and you can sign up. And it's a free newsletter. Goes out twice a week. I do kind of a news roundup on Friday for the week's news, and then Tuesday is just, you know, some topic in crypto. Today I talked about ecosystem maps, and maybe we'll go through that a little bit later after we get through our segments. So just want to get through that. Anyway, let's get to the markets. Let me pull those up. I haven't even looked this morning. You know, it's just it's actually a little bit green. So yeah, let's go to full screen here, and we could actually make that a little bigger, can't we? That's a little small. Anyway, Bitcoin up a little bit on the hour, as is just about everything else, sitting at 67.8. Not a huge pump up. They're still below 70. I'm considering this buy territory, in my opinion. That's what I'm doing. You know, Bitcoin is kind of my solid mover. It's kind of like the way I treat my investment portfolio. The vast majority of it is boring old index funds that keep increasing every year. In fact, it's actually even more diversified than that. It's like a series of, I go through Wealthfront, and that's like my main, that's kind of my aircraft carrier. And then I have like Robinhood, where I have some individual stocks. Did really well on Nvidia, as you can imagine. And I kind of think of like Bitcoin as my index funds, sort of, for crypto. Sort of. Not, I mean, obviously it's not an index fund, but it's kind of like the slow but sure mover. It's going to keep my portfolio moving forward. And I got to tell you, out of our bull run portfolio, it was still the best performer. So, you know, take that what you mean. Make of that what you want. Anyway, Ethereum under 2,000 right now still, which I actually think that's kind of a buy for Ethereum too. It's getting faster. It's getting cheaper. Still doesn't have quite the throughput I think it needs, but we'll talk about layer twos later too. XRP had a nice little pump in the last hour. That's pretty interesting. Still down on the day, but up on the week. One of the better ones. Actually, some of them are doing better, I should say. Why don't we... Who's doing really well on the day? MemeCore, Nexo, Pi, Jupiter, BitTensor, Morpho, Canton's still up there. I really want Canton to be on Coinbase, because I think this is a good project to buy into. They've got a ton of revenue. And as one of the things we might talk about later, it will be a future topic for the newsletter too, if you want to see it in more depth. There's a strong correlation between chain revenue and price appreciation. I don't think people, well, appreciate that, but it's pretty universal. There's some exceptions, but generally speaking, it's a pretty good principle. How about on the week here? Humanity Protocol, Pi, Pippin, BitTensor, Zcash, Morpho, even Polygon, 18%. That's nice to see. Polygon is actually one of the ones that's been kind of an exception, but its revenue has actually surpassed Ethereum. Its daily revenue surpassed Ethereum recently. So I'm pretty excited about that. I think this one's going to do great. And it's good to see Cosmos. I've been staking Cosmos for a while. It's like one of those projects. It predates my bull run portfolio, and it's just been kind of sitting on the Cosmos ecosystem, and it makes money. I'll tell you, it's the staking is really nice. It's pretty awesome. So I highly recommend, you should look into it. These are good prices for Cosmos. Now, I don't know. Who knows what it's going to do in the future, but it's been up around, God, what was it, like $40-some at some point? So I've just been stacking Atom. Anyway, that's our weekly. Now, who's losing on the week? I always have to click this twice. Pippin way down. MYX Finance down. Stable, Lighter, Quant, Story IP dropping. I saw a Story included in one of these dead projects, and I'm like, well, the price typically has been kind of pumping. It keeps popping up in this, you know, this top tens. Although obviously we see it in the downside today. And then how about 7-day? Yeah, MYX Finance has really dropped. And we've been seeing this one pop up a lot, which is very interesting. Trump's World Liberty Financial is in there. Aptos down, Decred Sky, Bitcoin token, and then Bitcoin is actually on there too for the 7-day. Interesting to see. You don't usually see this one on either of these charts typically. And you notice that our favorites, Algorand, Hedera, you don't see those. Every time we do this, every time we look at this, we do not see them on the 24-hour gainers, 7-day gainers, or the 24-hour losers or 7-day losers. It just never pop. They never pop up. Hedera once in a while, but they tend to be less volatile, just fairly stable in terms of volatility. Now, that doesn't mean that the momentum is going the right direction. It often isn't with Algorand, but the point is, like, it is fairly stable in that sense. So, why don't we move over to our Algorand coins, and then we're going to do Hedera coins too. Yeah, we got a lot of green candles, which is good. I see Haystack up here at 5% up on the week. It's looking for some other interesting candles. It's good to see a lot of green, even if it's not huge green. Liquihog, almost 5% on the day. Oh, look at this. Stable, 11%. Don't know a ton about that one. 9% on the, almost 10% on the week. And we have a scammed message in Kick. VrugelBC, come to us. And then they have a website. Well, we're probably not going to do that. I wish I got real chats. I did get a real chat on Twitch the other day, and I missed it because I didn't have multi-chat on. I kind of wish, well, whatever. It works. Power up 7%. Pheasant Pluckers is up 20% on the week. So congrats to people that hold that. Sorry, it's below my, it's behind my face here, but Goldow popping up a little bit too. Interesting. I think that's the one that Everyday Algonaut is behind. Yeah, you can see some of these tickers up here. Bag is up there. TLP. Gunna, 11%. Gunna, let's look at Gunna a second, because this one's been popping. This one's been popping in the last. This is the, what, 4-hour chart? Is that where we're on? Oh, no. Yep, 4-hour chart. Pretty big candle here. That's good to see if you're... So if you're a Gunna holder, and I do have a little bit, up 32% on the week. So that's pretty good. And then 16 to almost 17% on the 24-hour, pretty nice. So liking what I'm seeing there for sure. Any other ones? Moj, this one's been kind of popping off too. 26% on the 7-day, so... Yeah, I've got a few of the, and I kind of pointed this out earlier in the week on my X, which is at frugalbc. At frugalbc, if you want to follow me on X. We pointed out a couple of these earlier in the week that were popping off. Any other ones that I think are, it's pretty much, well, we can look at Tiny for a second. It's nice to see at least some green candles on Tiny. It's back over the 0.2 cent range. Now remember, this was trading between 2.5 and 5 cents not that long ago, and it's just precipitously dropped. And the main reason is you can't, if you have a coin like this and you give it out as rewards, that's a pretty good way to ensure that the price is going to tank. And we've seen this across the board, really. I've got a pretty guy, my P&L, by the way, $246, all to the good. Didn't do a damn thing for this, I will tell you. Hopefully that doesn't kill me with the algorithms, but didn't do anything for this, by the way. Oh, you can't see it. It's, hold on. I'll pull that over for a second. Yeah, $245, almost $246. All that is me staking. That's just me staking Tiny. So I got Tiny for having used the Tiny Man platform. I locked it up, and I've been taking the weekly rewards ever since. I just relocked it up not that long ago. And it's been slowly decreasing, of course, but this is basically free money. That's all been free money. And that's why I'm one of them, right? I'm partially responsible, but that's what the incentives are. You can't tell people to act outside of their incentives. It's just not how it works. So that is that's the Algorand coins. Why don't we go over now to the Hedera coins for my Hedera fans? Hopefully got some of you guys out there. If you're a Hedera fan, let me know in the chat. Let's get that chat rolling because it's been a little quiet. And we had a big viewership last time, especially toward the end, which is really typically how it works. And the chat was surprisingly quiet considering, but let's see, HBAR up 2%. And everything's kind of, you don't have a lot of big outliers, but everything's kind of up a little bit, except the PAC token up 15%. Congrats to the PAC folks out there making some money for sure. I'm sure you'll see a few people take some profits at that. Otherwise, most stuff is up maybe 1% to 2%. Karate, I heard there's some stuff going on with the Karate token. I didn't look super deeply into it, but KBL, Mouth is up 4%. I'm just kind of highlighting ones that are up over that 1% to 2%. HSuite up 5.38%. That's pretty good. It's a nice little pump up. Got a GC is down to 5 points. So Jam is down 4%. Ooh, Dosa took a 12. Isn't that the one? Was that the one last time that was way up? Or maybe it was something else. Down 12% on the week. That's kind of rough. Suit up a little bit. Here, H Barbarian up 4.3%. Sarah down 10%. Ooh, XPAC up. Sarah was the one that was way up last Friday when we did our stream. XPAC at 15%. And yeah, that's pretty much the exciting news. I'm going to leave these up. I have to go get my water. I realized I forgot to put my water out. So just give me one second. Okay, thank you for that. And why don't we go to our... I think that's all I got for this week. It'd be fun to look at some other ecosystems at some point. I'm not huge on Solana, but I don't know. Chainlink doesn't even have really that kind of stuff. I don't think Polygon does either, but maybe the Sui tokens. I don't know. I go back and forth on Sui. Something's always seemed off about the audience. It's like you would post, if I post Algorand or Hedera stuff, I get some people that are Algorand and Hedera fans saying, oh, that's great. Let's pump this, you know, or let's watch this, or, you know, let's react to this. And with Sui, it's like, you get nothing. You get nothing from that community, and I don't get it. XRP, like, I could probably have so many more views if I were making XRP videos, but, like, I don't know what there is to say about it. Anyway, I'm going to pull this up. Just a reminder, too, if you have not, we got more people in now, so just a reminder, if you have not already, please hit the like and subscribe button. Boy, it looks like I'm not getting any. I think we can, though. Let's get some... Just a reminder, if you have not already, please hit the like and subscribe button. Boy, it looks like I'm not getting any. I think we can, though. Let's get some... And there we go. Just a reminder, if you have not already, please... It looks like I'm not getting any. That's what it looks like, anyway. Yeah, I think we'll start with our Algorand segment, so we'll get through that first. Like I said, if you have not hit the like button, please do so. And you don't have to smash it. You can actually just press it ever so gently, and it works that way too. Greenblue in the chat saying, AVAX was cool when I was paying attention. Cool. And Begum says, Algo not mentioned the Epstein files, XRP, Bitcoin, XLMR. I actually looked myself yesterday. And Algorand, you are correct. A search for Algorand does not reveal anything. I searched for Algo, and Algo comes up a lot because it seems to be used often. It seems to be used often as Algo, as a shorthand for algorithms. They're saying the Algo, blah, 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 blah. And actually, even if these other coins are mentioned in there, by the way, it doesn't really matter because it's not like I want to look at the names, actually. That was like one of the things I was going to do is look at some of these names, because a lot of it's just like they were just talking about investing, you know. So I don't even know if it's I don't even know if that really makes a difference. Because it's not like they were, it's not like XRP was like tied to Epstein somehow, right? Like it's just, you know, he was just interested in invest. Some people were having conversations about what coins to invest in. So I don't know. Maybe it's actually bad because, like, wouldn't you want, that means like people aren't talking about Algorand. Not in those circles. Yeah, you might say, okay, they're bad guys, but like people were talking about investments. Raffle Inc. says, love HBAR and XRP. What are some good DeFi options? Would like to dive into Algo 2. You know, Tidy Man's a pretty good platform, but the rewards aren't as good as they used to be when there was incentivized rewards. I was making tons on Algo. Let me think. Actually, yeah, let me pull up my experiments. I can answer this before we get to our Algorand segment. So I've been enjoying Alpha Arcade. So first off, I would say Ready Pool will allow you to stake your Algorand and just earn passive income. It tends to be about every week I've been tracking it. Let me just, I didn't really make percentages, but it's, yeah, it's tended to be about 4 to 5 to 6%, depending on the day, as I recall. One of the things I really like is the Alpha Arcade token. You can hold it. So Alpha Arcade is Algorand's prediction market. And you can hold the Alpha token. And then you earn a cut of the fees that people pay to participate into Algorand. So Greenblue says, look into FLR for your XRP DeFi. Algo is probably Folks Finance. Now, Folks is good for passive income strategies that are kind of relatively safe, may not be the highest, but you can lend USDC and get like 4 to 6%. It kind of changes, actually changes a lot. And that's pretty helpful. That's a good way to earn like passive income, and you're not dealing with price depreciation either, although you might, you can also lend out your Algo, which I think you get about the same as if you just staked it. Raffle Inc. says, thanks to both of you. Yeah, I think those are good options, so definitely check those out. I was doing an experiment on Compex Pool. Not so great. Yeah, otherwise, a lot of my experiments now aren't really like DeFi necessarily, which is kind of interesting. DeFi was really great. Liquidity pools were great when Algorand incentivized them, because you could make like, because you were making the fees, plus you were making the daily rewards, and they can be pretty lucrative. When Algorand was like between 40 and 60 cents, I sometimes was making like 15 bucks a day on like, you know, what, maybe 10,000 total, eight to 10,000 total invested, something like that. I mean, that's like pretty crazy in terms of percentage and passive income. But then they introduced node rewards, and the DeFi incentives kind of went to pot, so to speak. Greenblue says, I'm starting to get the feeling it might be time to cash out of liquid staking tokens. However, I can give you my take on liquid staking tokens. I think, hold on a second. I'm glad we got a video coming up later. And I'm sorry, I know people get annoyed when I drink on stream, but you just kind of have to. I've already recorded segments where the whole thing, the audio is muted, so I just can't take that risk. Liquid staking tokens, my problem with them is that they're just not transparent enough. You can't see what it's doing, and that just really annoys the heck out of me. You know, I think it should be possible. I want to see in a dashboard, how much am I actually making? And it's not transparent. You can, some of them list, one thing I like about Haystack is it actually lists the value of the staking tokens. That could kind of help. You might be able to use your prof, the P&L option on there to see that. That's one thing I like about Haystack. Forgot to mention they are a sponsor, by the way, one of the best trading apps on Algorand, and you can check that out in the link below. And actually, that's a good thing to talk about, Raffle Inc., is that on Haystack, on Algorand, if you have assets on there, they have a automatic yield platform, so you can automatically earn yield on your coins, which is pretty cool. I've also been playing around with the Realms staking platform. Maybe I'll get into that in future videos. Tripsauce on Twitch says your title is true. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for watching, and it's nice to have a Twitch comment. We don't get a lot of Twitch comments. We are multi-streaming, so thanks for that. Tripsauce, good name, by the way. I like that. Yeah, and like I said, really cool to have a comment on Twitch. Feel free to leave more comments. You're more than welcome to. He says, I am only invested in two coins, HBAR and Litecoin. Nice. Litecoin was one of the first coins I ever invested in. I had Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Litecoin. And I bought them in 2017. And when they took off, I sold them, made a huge profit. But you know what? Should have hung on to those. If I had hung on to my HBAR from back then, earlier, I had Bitcoin in a wallet. There were these faucets where you could get like 0.001 Bitcoin or something like that. And you think that's actually like halfway decent money now. At the time, it was like fractions of a penny. So Tripsauce says, I bought all my HBAR at 4 cents. Nice. Mine's like a little under 5 cents. So like even in this downturn, I'm still up. That's the thing. Oh, boy. I got to crack my back a little bit. Okay, well, we got our Algorand segment coming up, so we're going to get into that. And as I say when I do my Algorand segment, I do any of my segments, I try to stick to comments that are within that realm. So we're going to have Algorand. They got to be Algorand totally, or I will save them for after the stream. But we got a video to react to first. Algorand's new board chair on why he likes Algo. We are going to look at this video from the new chairman of the Algorand Foundation board named Bill Barr. Now, it's not that Bill Barr, not the former AG. It's actually a different Bill Barr, and he is in charge of the Algorand Foundation's board. He's sitting at the head as the chair, and he's got a video. We're going to look at what he has to say and why he likes Algorand.
I've never been more excited about the convergence of crypto and AI. I just became chairman of Algorand, not because like I need more to do in my free time, but because I really want to be as close as I can to this convergence. And I think understanding the developer community's needs, my day job is wealth management now. I basically work with high net worth investors and family offices to allocate their assets into crypto, help them borrow against their crypto holdings, help them buy more crypto. What the hell does that have to do with the developer community? Well, I think it's that those layer one technologies that are the developers are going to take advantage of, which is what's going to drive the value of what I'm recommending as a fiduciary to my clients. And this is putting me like right in the middle of it, which I couldn't be more excited about.
Okay, so there you got a guy who is dealing with institutions and helping them invest in crypto, and he's excited about Algorand because of what it can do for developers to build on. So now I've got some other thoughts about this, and we will get to that in a little bit. But in fact, we could talk about that on our... I'll show you my Beehive post today, and we can talk a little bit more about that. But as far as builders, making it easy to build on, that's definitely one of Algorand's strengths. And YCats, I see in the chat, thank you for tuning in. Appreciate that. My loveliest viewer by far. But let's move on here. So I thought that was interesting. That's kind of the guy you want in charge of the Algorand Foundation board. I think that's pretty, and I see pretty much universal, universally good stuff on here. Nobody really complaining. Oh, sorry to be negative again, but neither does he have Algo in his bio, nor does he post anything about Algo. Well, let's take a look. I imagine he's under certain rules because I don't see him mentioning any coins. And I would guess, given his role in the private sector, I would guess it would be improper for him to specifically have a coin in his bio. He's working for Abra Global, which is where high net worth investors and institutions access elite crypto solutions. Yeah, I would think it would be very improper for him to have like a cryptocurrency in his title. So I don't necessarily hold that against him by any means. That is not all our Algorand news. However, we're going to skip around a little bit. Strong month for Algorand, according to the Algorand Foundation. Wallets went up 1.4%. Transactions up 1.4%. Monthly active accounts are up 62.2%. Well, that's pretty impressive. Increased to 896,000 from 552,000. 31.5% more smart contracts deployed. Stablecoin transaction volume has almost doubled. That's a lot. 436 million now compared to 228. And the total algo staked is now 2 billion, which is good to see. Obviously a result of the node rewards that they put out last year. They started, was it last year? Early last year, wasn't it? Yeah. Years kind of blend together at some point. But yeah, I think that's a great thing. Now, one thing I want to see on here is revenue. We're not talking about revenue, which is kind of irritating, but let's Tripsaurus, we'll get to that after the end of the segment, but I see it. I appreciate you, brother. So I want to talk a little bit more about this because Algorand development has posted, we were talking about X402 is now fully supported on Algorand. This is a concept, and now it won't show me the thread. I don't know what's going on there. Well, that's not going to help me. Oh, no. Maybe we can't go through that one. Oh, here it is. So this came out, and I thought this was interesting because a lot of people were like, wait a minute. They were saying that X402 was the first one to fully integrate X402 and maybe the only one to do it. Now, I've seen a lot of other posts that have suggested otherwise, that other chains also are X402 friendly or ready or what have you, including HBAR. So I don't know, but here's what they explain. They say, what's new? Spec merged by Coinbase, facilitator live via Go Plausible, Bazaar for agent discovery up and running, developer tooling available. Developers can now build micropayments, paper API calls, machine-to-machine payments, agentic payments, pay-as-you-go access, and autonomous renewals, all using HTTP 402 as a native payment flow. I got to tell you, I kind of get it, but I kind of don't. But I thought this was interesting. So Go Plausible, we've talked about how they're kind of the basis of Algorand and its agentic AI efforts. So here's the facilitator is live. And there's a Bazaar for agent discovery up and running. I think that's pretty interesting. I'd like to know more about that, I think. And so, of course, Algorand has low fees, instant deterministic finality, atomic transaction grouping, stablecoin support, and settlements, stays inside synchronous request response flows. I'm going to be honest, I don't know what that means. But here you can learn more about X402. Here's a deep dive. I'll probably read that later. And then there's an X402 workshop coming up. I think agentic payments is one of the best things for both Hedera and for Hedera and Algorand. Agentic payments is going to be huge, and I see both really making enormous efforts on this front, which is awesome. So, just want to shout both of those out. But let's get to the next thing here. I thought this was interesting, and I don't think we're going to go through. Maybe we will. So I actually listened to this whole interview with the OpenClaw founder, and he talked about how he had to basically like restart an entire code base because of the crypto bros coming at him in the comments. And people that wanted him to, people started making all these coins and they wanted him to sign on to them. He was going to be able to collect the fees. And he said, no, you know, I gotta respect that. So why don't we see what he has to say here? Well, watch, I don't know if I'll watch all of it, but.
Good at harassment. They're also really good at using scripts and tools. And I tell you, everything that could go wrong, did go wrong. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong. It's incredible. I underestimated those people. Honestly, I was that close of just deleting it.
Can we comment on the fact that you're increasingly attacked, followed by crypto folks, which I think you mentioned somewhere that means the name change had to be because they were trying to snipe. They're trying to steal. And so you had to be the name. I mean, from an engineer perspective, it's just fascinating. You had to make the name change atomic, make sure it's changed everywhere at once.
Yeah, I failed very hard at that.
You did?
I underestimated those people. It's a very interesting subculture. Like, everything circles around. I probably get a lot wrong and we'll probably get hate for that if you didn't say that, but there's like Bagzap and then they tokenize everything. And they did the same back with VibeTunnel, but to a much smaller degree. It was not that annoying. But on this project, they've been swarming me. They like every half an hour, someone came into Discord and spammed it, and we had to block it. We have like server rules, and one of the rules is no mentioning of butter for obvious reasons, and one was no talk about finance stuff or crypto because I'm just not interested in that. And this is a space about the project and not about some finance stuff. But yeah, they came in and spammed and annoying. And on Twitter, they would ping me all the time. My notification feed was unusable. I could barely see actual people talking about the stuff because it was like swarms. Mm-hmm. And everybody sent me hashes. And they all try me to claim the fees. Like, we're helping the project, claim the fees. No, you're actually harming the project. You're like disrupting my work. And I am not interested in any fees. First of all, I'm financially comfortable. Second of all, I don't want to support that because it's so far the worst form of online harassment that I've experienced.
Yeah,
it's disturbing, isn't it? I mean, this is why I know sometimes crypto gets a bad rap because of things like that, where people get like way too overzealous, and there is like a very pernicious aspect to some of the cryptosphere. Stuff really is irritating. So anyway, I thought this comment now was interesting. Because he said, OpenClaw guy is smart but terrible take here. Crypto is the only financial instrument that makes sense for agents to use to fund themselves and pay each other. And that this part is correct. I think it will be in that layer. It will make sense. But that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with what they're talking about here, which is what our good friend DB Crypto points out here. He says, you missed the point entirely. He is talking about how toxic and self-destructive the entire crypto Twitter sphere is. And he's 100% spot on. And I absolutely agree with that. This is two separate things. And people trying to like set up these meme coins based on these scam meme coins based on your project and then trying to get you to take them over and take the fees, cut of the fees or something, totally a bunch of garbage. So in this sense, I think he's entirely right. I think DB Crypto is spot on here. And Deployer, I think that's just flat out wrong. It's flat out wrong. Totally misses the point of it. So, but it is true. I think crypto is the only financial instrument that makes sense for agents to use to fund themselves and pay each other. That I totally agree with. So that he's 100% right on. That's something we've been talking about, with the X402 standard, with all the progress that Hedera and Algorand have made in this sense. That's what I'm talking about. Totally true. But that's a lot different than people just making a bunch of meme coins and trying to get, basically trying to make a quick buck off of this. Two very different things there. Now, I thought this was interesting. And I'm going to tell you, I don't understand it. So we got A new thing called Sense, which is programmable, frictionless financial infrastructure. Most tokens move with the markets. Sense is different. Its price doesn't move. Its liquidity does. Sense is a programmable DeFi instrument calibrated around a defined operational reference, 1 cent. That reference is not a guarantee. It is the system's collaboration constant, the point around which the liquidity engine operates. Passive holding, active participation. So when you buy Sense, your capital flows into the Sense USDC liquidity structure. The system actively manages liquidity around the 1 cent reference. You participate in the infrastructure automatically. No staking, no locking, no manual LP management. Your wallet balance becomes active financial infrastructure. So I still don't get, what am I doing with this? What calibrated at 1 cent means? It's operational midpoint, liquidity balancing constant, a volatility structure anchor, reference for dynamic rebalancing. It's not a peg, not a redemption promise. I understand what they're saying, but I still don't get it. Does that make sense? Unlike other tokens, Sense price remains anchored around the reference, while its liquidity absorbs market activity. I don't know what that means. This ensures that participants interact with the system without exposure to wild price swings. I mean, that's what a stablecoin does. Liquidity is doing the work, but what work? What is it doing? Structure participation bands. Sense operates with entry opportunities at a 5% discount, exit at a 5% premium. These are engineered participation zones, not random volatility. Rewards built in, but I guess I kind of get it, but ownership equals participation. Am I the only one that did not? I don't really see a lot of people talking about it. So anyway, I thought that was interesting because like this big long thing, and I'm obviously like in contact with Mercury Striker, but I don't understand it. I don't understand the point of it. What am I doing with this? What is this doing that other things don't do? I'm just going to be honest. I don't really get it. All right, we can move on to the one last thing I thought was interesting, and this is from Mr. Blue Sky. Algorand is the third highest max TPS this last month, even more TPS than Sol. It might be time for you to reevaluate Algorand. Now, I don't know about that. Solana fees have still been through the roof compared to Algorand, and revenue is, if you care about it, now it depends on what you care about, right? And I talk about this all the time because I think there's two aspects to crypto. There's the technology side of it, and then there's the investment aspect. On investment, I'm going to tell you the biggest thing you should look at is revenue. And right now, Algorand doesn't have it. I hope it will in the future. Solana has a lot of revenue. Tron actually has a ton of revenue too. So keep that in mind. Now, I want to point out something from Mr. Blue Sky because he is now, once again, the community manager for Akita on Algorand. Mr. Blue Sky is one of the very first people I ever interviewed way back in the day. I mean, my channel probably had like 200 subscribers or something. And he might have been the very first. I'd have to go back and look. It'd be interesting to see. But I remember that was definitely an early interview and it was kind of fun. And I was still, there's so much I didn't know compared to now. But anyway, what I thought was interesting about Akita, and does he have a, is Akita Social is coming, and I'm very curious what that's going to look like. So we're going to be paying attention to Akita Social. Apparently a way to get paid for your content. So, hey, I'm always willing to try things out like that. One thing we'll definitely be keeping an eye out, and maybe we will... maybe we'll deal with that at some point. Okay, but that is our Algorand segment for today. Plenty of news to look at, as there usually is. So thanks for tuning into that. And be sure to like it if you haven't already. Please hit that like button. It really helps the channel get out to more people, which is what we're trying to do. And then make sure to chat as well. TripSauce says, I'm an Elliott Wave macro analyst. Been doing it for 7 years now. Would you like to see my HBAR Litecoin charts. Yeah, feel free to like drop a link or something and we can take a look at that later on the stream. You know, we got a little ways yet. He's got them. You know what? Let me see. Let's see what happens if I... Oh, it pulled up. Hold on. I forgot I have my, for various reasons, I have my default browser set differently. Here's our HBAR chart, and here's what we're looking at. So it looks pretty bullish. But I'm going to tell you what, I don't do a lot of technical analysis. I'm not a big fan of it. I'm a big fan of having principles, and that you follow those principles depending on how the market conditions play out. And I'm telling you, the biggest correlation I'm seeing is with revenue. The chains with the most revenue tend to also pump the most. See, am I getting yelled at a lot? Very cool. I got a follow from a pretty big creator. The only thing I look at is TA. I don't look at anything else. I both chose HBAR. That says something as well. I think HBAR has some... I think HBAR and Algorand have very good technology cores. And I'm especially liking the adoption I'm seeing on the enterprise side. And I'm hoping that starts translating to revenue. Because here's the issue. The chains with very low fees, and I think Hedera was smart to increase its fees, by the way. Some people didn't like it, but you know, it's still incredibly cheap. But you need revenue. Chains need revenue, and I think Hedera has that chance of really growing revenue, but you need high volume when you have low fees. So just something to keep in mind. But I think we will get to our... We actually have a video, not a... I actually have a video to react to for our HBAR segment, so we'll get to that. Let me pull that up. Let's see here. Before we do that, I'm going to get a drink of water. Trip Sauce, you might like this one. It's pretty interesting. It is All in Crypto saying silver is the blueprint for Hedera Hashgraph HBAR in 2026. So we're going to watch this one. And maybe you'll have an opinion on the TA part of it. Like I said, I tend to look for setups and conditions more than just straightforward TA, but it's always interesting to look at least. All right, let's pull this up and let me just get this arranged here. All right, here we go. Let's see what All in Crypto has to say about silver being the blueprint for Hedera Hashgraph HBAR.
Hedera Hashgraph HBAR and silver is what we're going to be talking about today. And I'm going to be showing you guys that silver has given us the blueprint for the HBAR token, Hedera Hashgraph's native token. This is going to be an interesting one. Everybody rightfully paying a lot of attention to what silver is doing at the moment, as it's broken out for the first time since the 1980s. Now, there's some interesting things going on monetarily. The last time silver had an epic run was on the back end of the Nixon shock, where money changed. It went from being gold-backed to no longer being. And is there an element of that playing out today with all the uncertainty around US debt? Potentially, but we're not here to discuss that.
By the way, that's happened throughout history. This has been it's actually been an ongoing battle. I've been reading a lot about the Gilded Age and the debate around like greenbacks versus gold standard raged on for a lot. So this is not like a new debate by any means. So I just thought that was kind of interesting.
We're here to discuss how silver set up pre this recent run that it's been on. And I'm here today to tell you that Hedera Hashgraph is on the exact same course. So we're going to do a number of things. We're going to show you that course that Hedera Hashgraph is on based on the blueprint that silver has given us. And we'll be recapping in regards to what we were expecting for Hedera Hashgraph, how that has or hasn't played out, and what we're expecting to come based on not just what we were expecting previously and the probabilities of that continuing to play out, but also what silver is potentially showing us. So, without further ado, let's get into the video. Silver is, in my opinion, going higher. What I'm interested in, this is a two-monthly chart, is this little cycle here. So those of you that have followed me for a while will know that we believe markets move in four phases. This is something that we teach our Patreons, is that there's four phases to markets. There's really three trends. There's a sideways trend, which is accumulational distribution. There's an uptrend and a downtrend. And silver, before going on this epic run, if we drop down the time frames, had to go through, and we probably won't go to the weekly, perhaps the two weekly will show us better, the phases that markets go through. This being phase three, phase four being a downtrend, and phase one, which we were looking at for Hedera and accumulating for Hedera, having taken place before a breakout on volume. I'll show you all the volume a little bit later on. Then a retest of your phase one before that continuation, that real explosive price movement.
Tripsaw says impulse waves move in five. The wave you see in H bar is currently a wave 1 to 2. We're missing 3 to 4 to 5 to the upside. Same as silver before it ran. He says, this is where I got into silver. Yeah, no, I've been DCAing into gold, and it's worked out pretty well for me. DCA strategies are kind of a nice safe bet for people who don't want to do TA, which I am one of them, but always appreciate getting that perspective anyway. Yeah, feel free, Tripsauce, keep, as you see interesting things in the video, let me, from a TA perspective, feel free to weigh in.
Those of you that have been following me for long enough, we'll know exactly where we're going on this. Let's rewind the tape on silver before its epic run, when it was around about $20. Of course, that looks like a very smart buy considering today it sits at 73. But the reason that we're showing you this is because Hedera's on the exact same trajectory, and it never left that trajectory that we set out for it. We had that initial 800% rally. It's pulled back in the year of 2025 due to, I think, external conditions. The K-shaped economy, we've looked at all of this. 2026, I believe, is going to be the year. And I think given what silver did, it's telling us what Hedera is going to do. Because markets move in this fashion. They have four phases to them. Hedera Hashgraph really has a broad uptrend ahead of it. And the move that we saw in November, December 2024 was an initiatory move. Since then, we've really just been pulling back to where we broke out from. We've got that broad continuation ahead of us. I know holding cryptocurrencies is fatiguing, but it pays off, in my opinion. And that's not financial advice. So this is silver before it obviously went on the epic rally that it did.
All right, so Tripsauce in the chat says, one is a pulse up. Wave two is the correction of this wave one. And the big wave three to the upside comes in. Now, what I'm going to ask, is that going to equally apply to most of the crypto? Because we don't always see things behave similarly. And that upside, I find, just tends to not be guaranteed. It kind of depends on the asset and the strength of the asset and various conditions that are going around it. For example, also, I think it's a little weird because when you look at, like, say, revenue versus and how it correlates to price action, price appreciation, you don't see that with like, say, Bitcoin, because Bitcoin behaves more like gold and silver. They tend to be separate assets with separate price curves, you know, compared to, you know, Bitcoin kind of behaves more like gold and silver. Tripsauce says, not all of the same setups as this I've looked at currently include HBAR, Litecoin, XLM, XRP, BCH, and Quant. I didn't look at Algo. Yeah, I'd be curious to see what you see with Algo, but we can get to that. We'll save that for after the video. But Tripsauce in the chat confirming what we're seeing with All in Crypto.
This is Hedera Hashgraph. You can see phase one. Now into phase two. We'll put the schematic up as we go through this. So this is phase three, phase four downtrend, phase one accumulation. And phase two was initiated, in my opinion, on volume back in December 2024. Same thing happened here with silver. You can see the volume, the basically no volume whilst it was being accumulated. Then you get this break. You can see the volume shows up. Then you get a declining volume during the pullback, which is the exact same thing that we've had for Hedera Hashgraph, before it finds its feet and does this. Let's play it. And let's just play it through. And this is the route that Hedera Hashgraph, we've always believed this, but this is the route we think it's got ahead of it. With cryptocurrencies, unfortunately, there's volatility that comes inherently. Everybody wants that upside. Nobody wants to suffer the reality of getting to that upside. Every single altcoin I've ever held has had to go through brutal pullbacks to get those kind of returns. And if you guys, some of you were with me in 2021, watch what we did there. We literally got 100x's out of cryptocurrencies, but on the route to getting there, there was brutal pullbacks. And that's just part and parcel of the course, I'm afraid. But this is the route that Hedera Hashgraph very much has ahead of it, in line with how we think markets move. It's definitely our opinion that Hedera's got really bright days ahead of it. I truly, truly believe that. And once it starts to base out, maybe we're at that point. We expect a very good 2026. Do go and watch my daily market update. Everybody rushes towards a protocol that is going to enable enterprise use of distributed ledger technology, which is the future of enterprise.
Now, there's something I can really comment on, because Hedera has had huge enterprise adoption and interest, because I think in big part because of the huge names that it got on its governing council, for one. Secondly, the low fees and high throughput. You know, same thing I say about Algorand. The difference with Hedera is these huge names like Google, IBM, LG, Dell, you know, so just recently FedEx now, that's the latest one on their governing council. That's a signal. If I'm a business and like I'm in charge of picking like our next crypto strategy with like, hey, we need to build something on crypto. What am I going to choose? Well, I'm going to choose Hedera, because you know what? I'm not going to go wrong with my boss if I'm recommending something that has the endorsement of Google, LG, Dell. I think I said Samsung was a long time ago. I think I was wrong about that. Just some of the biggest names in tech. That's just a safe bet. And then plus all the good news on top of that, you know, the fact that it has high throughput, low fees, pretty interesting infrastructure, you know, not exactly a blockchain, more of a distributed ledger. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's why it's getting enterprise adoption for sure.
And the tables turn very quickly. Unfortunately, we have been dealing with this kind of K-shaped economy, which has weighed on the cryptocurrency space. But Hedera's only here, and it's got this ahead of it, in my opinion. And this, of course, is how silver looks today. This is the route that I believe Hedera Hashgraph, in my humble opinion, has ahead of it. That's right. It's going to do something like this. And once it breaks out into price discovery, it's going to be very explosive. I personally can see, in my own opinion, Hedera Hashgraph getting to multiple dollars. Considering it's 11 cents today, you know, very much is appealing. I think your volume profiles align. I think typically when a market moves out of accumulation into phase two, that happens on high volume and a spike. This was an 800% rally that we benefited from. Since then, it's just pulled back throughout the year of 2025. It's been a brutal year. It's been a downward year for alts broadly, despite...
Now, this is the point where I want to make it clear that this is from about a month ago. So we haven't seen this materialize yet. Now, it could be that this hasn't come to fruition yet, but we'll see. I'm not always so convinced by technical analysis. I know Tripsauce in the chat is a technical analysis guy. I'm less convinced. I just tend not to be very convinced about these things, because I don't see where the volume is going to come from. Hedera has not had great volume. I think that's been increasing, but the TPS is very low. Like something like Algorand has had a lot higher of volume in terms of, you know, actually the chain being used. Now, volume on trading, maybe. We got the ETF live, so that's good news. It also tends to stabilize things. 1% of the HBAR total supply, and not the circulating supply, but the total supply, is now locked up in this Canary ETF. I think that's very interesting. And we've seen that with Bitcoin. It's tended to stabilize Bitcoin more. It's not as volatile as it used to be. It's actually less volatile than some of the top technology stocks right now, like NVIDIA. So I thought that was pretty interesting when I learned that. And that will probably have a similar effect on Hedera. So you may not see as much upside, but you might not see the drop like we've seen. Hedera, I'm still up on. Whereas Algorand, I have no idea, but it's back to kind of its all-time lows. whereas, or just above it, where Hedera's maintained, you know, about a 2x from its lows. And so I think the ETFs definitely make a big difference because they have a stabilizing effect that we've seen on the cryptocurrencies that have had ETFs. So interesting stuff, but let's finish the video here.
Continuation for markets. We were right directionally on markets. Wrong on the context of how altcoins were going to react due to the K-shaped economy, which is comparable with small cap stocks in relation to large cap stocks. Large cap stocks have outperformed because they've been kind of narrative driven, whilst the broader economy hasn't been doing too great.
And now kind of the opposite, actually. Right now, the small cap stocks have actually outperformed the large cap stocks this year. And actually, even though this is a month old, that was the case a month ago. So I'm actually kind of surprised he isn't aware of that. Maybe he doesn't pay attention to it. But that's also why I can be kind of distrustful of TA, because I don't think it always takes into effect or takes into account those macro conditions and just the broader economy.
I believe because of the conditions the Federal Reserve has thrust upon markets. But there's an interesting tale that Silver tells, and that is the tale, in my opinion, of what's to come for Hedera Hashgraph. Let's put these side by side so you can see them. We know, or I believe, that Hedera Hashgraph is going to follow a similar blueprint, a similar course to Silver, which, of course, everybody is talking about today. And that's how markets go, in my opinion. There's trends, there's hot topics. But if you were to give me Hedera Hashgraph or Silver, and we're going to annoy some people by saying this, I would take Hedera Hashgraph because I actually think it's going to outperform. I think the reality of the opportunity the cryptocurrency space presents has never left us. If anything...
Okay, we got to look at this. I want to see... I'm going to look at this because I want to see how Hedera has done and I want to see how Silver has done in the last month. This is the month since he posted this. And, you know, it's not... It might not mean anything, but... You know, we could say, well, there's just needs to be more time. But let's take a look for a second here. As soon as this loads up here. 1 month. Hedera is down 13% in 1 month. Now let's look at Silver. Well, down 23%. So you definitely actually could say that HBAR has outperformed Silver over the past month. It was you'd be down on both at this point if you started buying in a month ago. But hey, can't argue with that. HBAR has technically outperformed Silver.
In 2025, despite price action, was a year of acceleration as far as adoption was and is.
And obviously, we got to look a little more long term than that to really evaluate this prediction. But I think it's a fair point anyway.
It's concerned. We had a new president take office, Trump, who's very flamboyant, to put it that way. And of course, that introduced a lot of uncertainty to markets. Markets, the S&P had a bear market in 2025. 20% plus pullback is a typical bear market. Every time it's engulfed that, which it has, it's gone on to rally for the...
Wait, hold on. What did he say?
25. And of course, that introduced a lot of uncertainty to markets. Markets, the S&P had a bear market in 2025.
It absolutely did not. What? How do you even say that? Okay, this is 1 year. This is January to January. It is, it was 11% over the past year, but it was actually even more. I don't think you can say that. 2025 return. 17, almost 18%. Now, there was a pullback during the Trump plan where the Liberation Day was definitely a drop, but how can you say it was a bear market? That's crazy. I guess you could say, you could argue that a lot of it was driven by the large cap, but that's kind of how it works. You know, it was very large. The large caps, the technology stocks, the Magnificent Seven, as they say, definitely drew more. Definitely drove most of the returns in 2025, and now it's kind of flipped where the smaller caps are doing better than the large caps. But to say it's in a bear market, I think that's kind of crazy. that's just wrong. I don't know. I don't know what else to say. It's just flat out wrong.
20% plus pullback is a typical bear market. Every time it's engulfed that, which it has, it's gone on to rally for the smallest period being the one that led us into March 2020. And that was about 400 days. It takes until at least mid next year for the broader markets. Crypto can really perform here, I think. And I think given where Hedera is, again, I think it's a very useful blueprint looking at silver here and what it went on to do. And Hedera Hashgraph today and what I believe it's going to go on and do. I believe in the cryptocurrency space stronger now than I ever have, despite what's probably been the worst year as far as retail sentiment I've ever seen.
Agree with that.
But, and I hate to say this, and I'm going to trigger some people. People are like sheep. Just like the silver trade right now, you want to be positioned before a move, not when it's happening, and basically treat it as exit liquidity, which unfortunately a lot of retail is. You want to get in before something happens. This is why we look at trends. This is why we look at market structure. Hedera has been in accumulation. I actually think 2025 is a year of accumulation, or will be seen as that with hindsight as an asset later on down the line.
I actually think we're in accumulation right now. I mean, it seems pretty obvious given the prices.
2026 could be an epic year. And certainly if Hedera is to follow silver, which we believe it is, back in 2023, I think Hedera, along with other cryptocurrencies, are going to be, in my opinion, the best performing assets in the future, whether that's 2026, 2027. You know, it could be both. But we think there's real performance ahead of us. Let November 2024, which we were positioned for, my entire group was, so are many of you guys, be a taste of what's to come. We've had that first initial rally. We've pulled back. Broad continuation may be ahead of us. If you listen to your Elliott Wave guys, they'll tell you just how brutal sort of wave two typically is because of all the uncertainty and doubt that there is around it. But that initiatory move that Hedera's had, in my opinion, is signaling what's to come. And I think silver is a great blueprint of the future that we've got ahead of us as Hedera Hashgraph holders. That's it from me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to love and leave you all. Thanks, everyone, for watching. I'll see
you. All right. Well, I think it's very interesting. I guess we'll see how that plays out. I'm always interested in testing new stuff in crypto. I didn't know a lot about Elliott Wave theory, but might be worth looking into. But like I said, this is a month ago, so be curious to see how this plays out in 3 months, 6 months, etc. I do think we possibly have a move to the upside. I think there's certain coins that are going to do well, but it tends to be the ones that pop off the most tend to be the ones that have the most volume. We got 1010 in the chat on Twitch saying, hey, what's up? Well, hey, appreciate you being here. We are getting some views on Twitch, which is kind of cool. Haven't gotten a lot of, it's kind of cool. We're getting some comments on Twitch. We almost never get comments on Twitch. So happy to have you in here. Appreciate that. If you have a channel, I'll go check it out too. Anyway, this is from All in Crypto. I think you did a pretty good job of this video. I don't agree with everything. I thought the S&P 500 thing was crazy. I could understand saying it's a pullback. I don't know about saying it's a, calling it a bear market is kind of crazy when you have an 18% positive year. And my portfolio actually did better because I had small cap stocks that did really well. I had some emerging market stuff was going crazy last year. So I think that's a little, that was a little outside of bounds in my opinion. I think it kind of missed the mark there, but overall I'd say it's pretty good. I gave it a like, and you guys can check that out too. I am not able to chat in here, but I think we'll be looking at Elliott Wave Theory, and I like to test stuff out. So if I read about it, maybe I'll test some things out and we'll think about that. Something else to do on the stream too, which could be fun. So, well, thanks everyone for tuning in so far. I see that there's a Hedera Dev Day. So maybe we can watch that a little bit as we kind of wrap things up here. Let me get a drink of water. Meanwhile, if you have not hit the like button on YouTube, I appreciate you doing so. You can share the stream on X, and we appreciate all your comments. And, 1010 turned out to be someone trying to sell me something. Okay, well, sorry, not doing any of that. But thanks. Anyway, please leave us a comment on any of the platforms, whether that's YouTube, X, or Twitch, or Kick. We're on all four of those. And please hit the like button on YouTube. It helps send this out to more people. Kind of seeing if there's any interesting stuff to tune into. Actually, maybe we'll look at Crypto Breakfast Club in a minute here. And maybe we'll just tune into that. By the way, we're available as a podcast. You can search Frugal BC on your favorite podcast platform, whether that's Apple or Spotify. And you can listen on the go, which is kind of neat. I have to have a video thing too. And actually, Apple Podcasts apparently is Apple adding video. So maybe I'll just start like popping those over. We'll see. Right now, they're just audio, which I kind of like. When I'm on the go, I just kind of like having the audio to listen to. So, and it's been doing pretty well. I'm kind of happy with the performance of the podcast so far. It's got a little ways to go before it like starts paying for itself. Right now, I'm paying to put it out in the world, but definitely check that out if you enjoy listening to podcasts while you're getting around. But let's, I think I'm going to pull up this, I'm going to go back to here. I'm going to pull up this, this space and see what they have to say for a little bit, just to kind of close out our stream. All our segments are done. Feel free to chat. I will chat back to you. Otherwise, we'll give this a listen.
It's not relevant in what it actually does. No. It is.
I have so many guys shilling me Litecoin. They've had me look at the chart many times, and it never gets out of that range.
It's interesting because it's not in that range because of lack of retail, right? It's not there because it's everywhere,
right?
In every exchange, every wallet, ATMs. Like we were looking at ATMs right. This morning, like it's everywhere. It's not right. That. It's there are exterior. Influences
right.
That dictate where these ranges are for everything, right? So the narrative that nobody cares about Litecoin isn't technically not true.
May I be candid?
Yes.
No, it isn't.
I give my guys shit for all the time, and I just basically tell them. I said, "What do I say to them?" I say, "Bitcoin has a founder, a Jesus character, so to speak. It has a Satoshi." Moving on to other a anonymous is not the same thing as an abandoned founder. Do you have a founder on taking lead on that, or is Charlie or anybody, is anybody else besides that guy?
So Charlie is still very active in a lot of the stuff that happens with Litecoin. He's just a sort of, he's a background guy. He's not a founder who likes to be in front of things. So he does all of his work in the background. And I can tell you anything that's ever happened with Litecoin over the years, his fingerprints are on it. The only reason the foundation exists is because he's the one funding the majority of it, right? The summits that we do, anything that is happening with Litecoin, Charlie, that's his baby. He's not going anywhere. He's never, ever left. He just stopped posting on X.
That's called leaving.
And being in the forefront of people's minds. And being in the forefront of people's minds. Because in his mind, it was, okay, first I have to back off socials because people are freaking buying and selling just based off of what I'm posting, and that's not good.
All right.
In crypto, you got to be online. It's just how it
otherwise
works.
It won't go up. So the same.
This is the same problem Algorand has too, by the way, with Silvio being missing and also with John Woods no longer on Algorand. Like it's a real problem because I think that matters in terms of narrative.
Barely. So what's the idea behind that? The idea behind that is obviously now that he can do things without without having that bridle on him, that it's like, okay, whatever I'm doing it for, my own benefit, or I'm doing it, nobody can question that. Nobody can question why he's doing what he's doing at this point, because he's doing more now than he did back in 2017. I mean, he was working at Coinbase. He quit Coinbase so that he can concentrate on Litecoin, which is what he does. So a lot of that stuff gets lost there. What was the other part of the question?
Is there anybody else who's willing to be visible on the team and or structured
revenue. Yeah, and that's what he's been pushing, right? That's Charlie himself has been pushing.
There has to be somebody. You know what I mean? It can't just be, a band is not equal to anonymous.
Let's put it this way. Anytime somebody wants to do an interview about Litecoin or they want to have somebody come and speak at a conference of Litecoin, they automatically, Charlie's the default, right? For obvious reasons. I mean, someone's going to be more interested to hear Charlie talk than somebody like myself or Alan Austin.
One thing I'll say is Litecoin's social media is hilarious. If you're not following them, it's worth a follow.
You know, Robbie Coleman come and speak instead. How about you come and have David Schwartz come and speak instead? How about Alan Austin instead, right? And then most of the time, until, you know, such time as maybe the names become more familiar with people, they politely decline that. And then they just move on to the next coin they probably want to have and talk. So he's been consciously actually trying to get, he's pushing more of us out into the front to speak intelligently about Litecoin so that there is multiple faces that go with it that have some sort of sphere of influence on how people are learning about and understanding Litecoin versus just Charlie Lee. So yes, that is happening.
Thank you.
It's why I'm here today speaking to you. It's part of that effort.
I like the applause that I had there.
Glad to have you for sure. I'm actually just getting ready to make a post about it too. This has been great. CK, go ahead.
Yeah, man. And yeah, dude, thank you so much for rolling through, David. It does matter. You know, we do need like an amen, Zach. Zach with a C. I echo that. Absolutely. Like I was thinking earlier today, it is kind of wild how like there's the Satoshi era, the anonymous founder, and then you have Charlie Lee 2011. And it's like, for one, also just like water finding its level. These Zcash, which has that built-in tax, low da-da-da, XMR, it's losing its on and off ramp. So it's just like, again, if you didn't know Charlie Lee was the founder of Litecoin and you didn't know MWeb, hard to respect anything you say. So I'm just going to say that there's some folks that need to be part of the conversation and other folks, and the people are going bankrupt. We don't have.
I didn't know that. And that's up to them to get that out there. That's not up to the people to know that.
Circling back to that discussion Mutaska was having. Amen. Understanding the power of memes, the power of unifying minds. I do not like the fact that that Litecoin, for instance, is seeding a plan. And part of that is you need lions leading lambs, which is why Operation Litecoin Liberty. Get for Litecoin, move it into a self-custody wallet. Folks that know the dollars and cents understand how that's a piece of trending the entire system towards a sane model, scalable algorithmic Nash equilibrium. All of which is to say, the Pepecoin project, right? There's actually more incentive going from proof of stake back to proof of work. So while, you know, that was a very cool thing that you guys are having with Tosco and Litecoin. But for instance, the Pepecoin community is such a Trojan horse. For one, it was just listed on Kraken a couple days ago. So unlike Monero, reductions of friction to participation are reduced. Because before, like literally 2 or 3 days ago, there was no exchange that I knew of where you could get PEP, which is again, merge mind with Litecoin and Dogecoin.
Okay, I was getting kind of bored of that. So, I think that is, I'm going to push this back to where we want it. I don't know why Tim Pool's up there. Oh, actually, we're one down there. Hold on. Okay, wait. There we go. And I'm going to go back to my main screen. Thanks so much, guys, for tuning in. I appreciate everyone watching. We'll be back on Friday with another live stream. Plenty of stuff to look at and respond to. In the meantime, you can listen to the podcast on Apple and Spotify and anywhere you get your podcasts, as well as you can watch this on replay on YouTube. It also has a podcast feature, although I don't fully understand it yet. But thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Hope you